stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, June 14th. I'm here with Mia, as always.
Yay, happy Friday.
It's become a habit now. To be here with you every morning.
I know, I like it.
Yeah, a habit that's hard to break. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, folks, and today is actually, I just realized it's my brother's birthday, too.
Is it really?
Which means, yeah, and it's your brother's
and it's
birthday.
It's my brother's birthday.
June 14th, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing? I just
so
thought of
amazing.
It. Only when I saw it written did it remind me that it's his birthday today. Wow. And
nice.
He's coming into town. He lives in China. In fact, he's coming
oh,
in today.
Wow.
I mean,
China?
Look at all
what's
the
he doing over there?
He's a marketing director for a university there, a business university.
Oh, wow.
An international university. So I guess they need English speaking people. And also he's got a lot of you know, he went to school. He's got a MBA and all that stuff.
Wow, how exciting. Good for him. I want to go to China.
Yeah, so he...
That's awesome.
He got married and they moved there. I don't know how much his wife likes it there, but, you know. He loves to travel, man. He's been, all over the place. Some of the most bizarre places, you know. He saw all kinds of... rituals and things like that, you know, of, burying people or, you know, in some countries, they actually burn the body, in open air and stuff.
Oh.
And everybody watches, you know, instead of burying them.
Yeah, interesting.
So he was telling me about this. I thought, oh, my God, man. So people do some crazy things around the world, you know.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
so glad I'm here.
Yeah, me too.
Every
but then
time
again,
I travel,
this is, you know, this is all we know. They might think it's strange that we put a person in a box and put them in the dirt.
That's
you know?
True, yeah.
So it just depends on, I think, what you're accustomed to.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, you know. I mean, some things seem barbaric to us, but they're not to them, you know.
Right, right.
Although some things, I think, are decidedly barbaric. Some of the things they do in Africa and Asia and stuff, my God, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one thing. So, you know what? Do you want to call your brother and wish him a happy birthday?
I do. I think he'd get a kick out of it. He's turning 20
wow.
today, which is just freaking me out because now it's okay, he's not a teenager anymore. He's 20. He's he's an adult. He has a job. He's a massage therapist, a licensed massage
therapist.
Oh, really? Yeah.
How cool.
He went through this whole year-long program at the college I graduated from, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got a job at this super posh spa in Chicago. I'm
wow.
Wow, good for you. You're actually a grown man with a real job.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, don't jump the gun yet. He's not a grown man yet.
No, I know. I know. He'll always be a baby, though. My baby brother, for sure. But yeah, let's call him.
We're going to call your brother. What's his name?
Sean.
Okay. My son's name is Sean.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll pick up. I really hope he does.
Okay, well, we will. Let me talk to him first so he doesn't know it too. We should have actually planned some kind of a...
Hello?
Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're calling you from L.A. We happen to have Mia here in the studio.
Hi, Shawnee. It's your sister.
Hello.
We wanted to wish you a happy birthday. You're on the air right now.
Yes, happy birthday.
Oh, excellent.
We were just talking about you, so there you go, you know. So hold on a second here.
They say it's your birthday. That's just awesome.
There you go. You see? So we thought we'd make you feel special today and document this on the air. So you're turning 20 today?
Yes, I am. Just turned 20 years old.
That's awesome.
Yay.
You said he was going to see Man of Steel today. Is that true? Is that what
you're
going
to
do?
Yeah, are you going to go see Superman?
It was true, but things kind of got changed up, so instead I'm just going to go to Whole Foods and have a salad.
You would.
I guess that beats Man of Steel.
You would.
not quite Man of Steel, but might be nice.
It'll make you a Man of Steel because you're eating healthy. Good for you.
There you go. Whole Foods. All right, John. Well, have a good one. We thought we'd surprise you a little bit.
Happy birthday. Love you.
Well, thank you very much. It was quite a surprise.
Of course. Take care.
Bye.
All right.
Wow, he sounds older than 20, though, doesn't he?
I know, he's just, like, matured out of nowhere.
Really?
I'm like, gosh, when did this happen?
I know, they, like, change overnight, huh?
They do. They really do.
Yeah, their face starts to grow, their noses grow. It's the voice changes.
Yeah, he has, like, long hair now. He pulls it back in, like, a ponytail, and he's so tall.
Really?
I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, where did this come from? It's amazing.
Are there some tall people in your family?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, my mom's not very tall. But yeah, my dad's about like 6'1" or something.
Oh, okay.
I think my brother's about
it.
6 foot now.
And really?
I'm about 5'6" ish.
Yeah, well that explains it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we know why he's tall.
Yeah, and he has a motorcycle now. He rides a motorcycle.
Really?
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It makes me so nervous. But
he's a very, very good driver,
but it's not, you know, it's not his driving I'm worried about.
Exactly.
It's everybody else around him.
That's the motorcycle fear right there, you know?
Yeah.
That somebody else is going to hit you, you know?
Yeah.
And it does happen.
That's why I'm wearing this, like, super badass outfit today.
In honor of him and
Flag Day. I've got, like, it's like a ripped up shirt. It's a skull, but it's like American flag. And my new jean shorts are the American flag. And I'm wearing, like, my motorcycle boots. I'm like, yeah.
A shirt with holes all over it? Did you have to make the holes or what?
No. It came like that.
You buy it like that?
Yeah, I bought it like that. Come on, Sam. Don't you know that's a cool thing to do nowadays?
I do.
Buy clothes with holes in them.
I know. I don't get it, you know. I mean, I wash my shirt once and it doesn't look new anymore. I'm like, I'm on... Right away.
Yeah, it's like the cool thing to look like you don't actually have enough money to buy yourself nice clothes without rips in it.
That's true.
Yeah, it cracks me up.
I know.
The LA way.
It used to be that people with holes in the clothing were like poor people, you know?
I know, right?
You'd like, feel bad for them.
Now the more holes you have in your clothing, the cooler you are. Yeah. Like, who makes this stuff? Like, who thought of that one day? Like, this is going to be the cool trend.
Right.
To have holes in your clothes. Somebody's like, yes, let's do it.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
That's how you succeed in business, by thinking outside the box, you know?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
So I would never buy ripped clothes, but who knows, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a skull there with a flag of America there.
Yeah.
What's the meaning of that?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's just, you know, I just wanted to wear something with the flag on it because it's Flag Day.
No, but why did you buy it in the first place?
Why did I buy it? Oh, okay. It's actually kind of a funny story. I was in Venice, and actually later that night, I was going to the Black Keys concert, and they are just like one of my favoriteest bands ever. I love the Black Keys, and they were playing at the Staples Center, and time just kind of got away from us in Venice, and we're thinking we might have to go straight to the Staples Center. So I was like, well, I need something else to wear, because I was just wearing like my jean shorts and like, you know, my bikini with like a cover up. I'm like, I can't wear this at the Staples Center. So we were just shopping around at those little random shops on the boardwalk on Venice, and I just saw this t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, this looks cool. I'll just buy this and I'll wear it to the concert tonight.
It's like I knew you'd say Venice when you first said it. It's like I knew it. You know, that's where they sell the stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's that. That's my story.
Yeah, well, cool. I would never know it's Flag Day, but since you remind us,
yeah.
Now we all know.
Yeah, it's Flag Day. Happy Flag Day, everybody. June 14th.
Celebrating the flag.
Year.
Wow. You know, but I got to tell you, you know, before I came to the United States and stuff, you know, when I was young, and you have this dream of coming to America and stuff.
Wait, where were you before, like, you came to the United States?
Israel. I never told you I was born in Israel.
No, I don't think so. Oh, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
Ah.
So, well, I'll have to fill you in, you see?
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so before I came here, America was like heaven. It was like That's where everybody mm-hmm. wants to go, right?
Yeah.
So I remember the flag was like the coolest thing. I mean, we'd have like Speedos with the American flag.
Oh, wow.
Well, we were kids, you know, we were like teenagers.
Got any photos
stuff.
Of that?
Well, as teens, you know, back in the 70s, it was okay to wear a Speedo. <That's> you know, when you funny. Don't have a gut or anything, it looks okay, you know. You can't remember what time it was very popular, you know.
It's
just
so.
I think the problem is people without a body for it are wearing it. Just like some women shouldn't be mm-hmm. wearing bikinis, you know.
Right, yeah.
But they do, and then it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
I believe people like to refer to those as beach whales.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're not necessarily that big, but still, you know, I mean, some yeah. people, I would just... You know, I think once you're past a certain age, you shouldn't be wearing bikinis.
Yeah, or at least like a tankini, you know, where it's like a yeah. tank top or
exactly.
it's, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. But you don't want, you know, all the fat coming out and everything. It doesn't look good. It doesn't suit you either, you know, as a person that wears it, you know.
Yeah.
So people need to think about that. But what are you going to say? They're not even mentioning that it's Flag Day today. I don't know what the story is, but.
Really?
You must be well connected.
I think it's just because also because it's my brother's birthday. So I always know June 14th, my brother's birthday / Flag Day.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's just, so, I mean, every, like, I remember even, you know, when he was a little kid and we'd have birthday parties for him, I always kind of felt bad because the decorations and the party streamers were all, like, you know, red, white, and blue. You know, cause it's like my mom would always do it to the theme
right.
of Flag Day where I would have, like, Hello Kitty or Little Mermaid or Bambi, like he would always have an American flag theme. And I'm like, oh.
Wow, that's cool.
So that's
like
how
said,
that's how
we
I
have
know
a cool
that.
Flag, you know.
And
so.
Also one more week from today is the Pieces of Ash show.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Yeah.
Do we want to remind people again?
Yeah, right. Zelle.com is your daily reminder.
Yes, but for all of you who want to see Mia in person, that's the way to do it, folks. Go check out the show next Friday at, is it Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday
yeah, 21st.
At, what time does it start, like 10 or something?
I think the doors open at 9, but the show starts at 11.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay, people are waving to me. I don't know if they need me or not, but you don't come and ask for me when I'm on the air.
There's just people waving. I'm like, should I comment on this?
No, I just thought he maybe was coming here for the keys for somebody's car, but no, that's the manager of the building. So.
Oh, okay. I was like, uh-oh. I know, the guy was giving me so much shit this morning for parking my car here. I'm like,
no, but you're going to park there every day. You know? He's going to have to answer to me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you tell him, Sam.
Enough of that.
Tough guy.
Yeah, so, well, anyway, so we'll just let that go because I don't feel like getting pissed today.
Oh, I know. You know? I know, right? It's Friday.
But things like this really pissed me off, you know, when he wouldn't let you park this morning.
I know. It's like, I mean, I can understand because it's like, okay, he's never seen me before and I just started.
But it doesn't matter.
Here,
it's for guests. It's for guests. He's not supposed to know the people that come.
Right. Oh, well, then. Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Get mad.
Yeah, I take that back. I'm mad now.
No. All right. Well, we have a very special guest in the studio joining us this morning. And Phil Dembo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Phil is a life coach who also has a show on the station. Tell us what the name is.
It's called Life Coach Radio. We're on every Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
There you go. And you've been with us for a while, right? Has it been a year yet?
It's coming up on a year. We were on a different platform before, but folks, there's nothing like LA Talk Radio.
There you go.
We're thrilled to be here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sam.
You just made my day. So we'll go back and find out, you know, where are you from and all that stuff. But tell us a little bit about the things you do with life coaching. What is it?
You know, I was a therapist for many, many years in the Midwest. And as a therapist, everybody understands what that is today. You really are limited in what you can do. And I'm just one of these people that has a real need to say what my opinion and tell people what to do and give advice and come up with strategies. And as a life coach, and I started this well before life coaching became the theme.
Oh, really?
You know, right now life coaching is this idea that anybody can be a life coach. But to be really trained in life coaching, you really become an advisor to people beyond helping them self-actualize, but beyond helping them through their problems. So what I do is I work with everything from professional athletes to owners of big businesses, to couples, to parents, to everybody. And what we come up with, we partner around strategies.
Mm.
Strategies about how to better their life, their circumstance, and make sure that they are on a path and a vision that they're really hoping for. And that's really why we decided to do a radio show, because right. we really think that the people out there can use, you know, we've had Dr. Laura, you've had all this on the radio.
Oh, wow.
And what we want to do is we want to help people really come away with some takeaways.
Right.
And that's what we do in our show.
Sounds good. Now, so you're guiding people through life pretty much. I mean, you're giving them advice of like how to handle things. It's like, because I know many people are not trained for, you know, for a healthy way of thinking,
right.
you know, for doing the right thing. And, you know, people, I think, you know, we all kind of get screwed up in our childhood and stuff. And then when we become adults, we don't really know how to deal with some situations.
Well, you know, the reality is in today's, people cannot afford to sit back and figure out their childhood. At some point, you have to say to yourself, enough is enough about blaming my parents or
right.
blaming whatever issues I've had growing up. You know, what I loved about listening in on the show is sort of the connection between me and her brother.
Mm.
You know, there was this sort of, you could just feel the love, and it was easy and it was simple and they connected. You know, there is something beyond that. It doesn't mean that he didn't, you know, punch her when they were four or this or that or whatever the hell happened. You know what I mean? So in life coaching, what you really want to do is you want to help people step over their circumstances and be their authentic self, understand what it means to be you in the process of dealing with life around you. An example is, I just got a new client. I work with people all over the world. So with Skype and with telephones and with travel, you can really work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy owns a big company in Seattle, and he was looking for a coach. Now, you would wonder, the guy's got all the money in the world. He's you know, on top of the world. He's
right.
He's got a beautiful wife. He's got two great kids, whatever. Why a coach?
Right.
Because I'll be the person who'll tell him things nobody else will tell him.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'll challenge him in a way that nobody else is going to challenge
right.
him. His wife isn't. His kids aren't. His partner in business isn't. And that's the role. That's why athletes find people like me.
It's like a like an outside perspective, more or less, because you know, most people that you know are just going to tell you what you want to hear,
right?
Kind of thing, where somebody, you know, on the outside is going to tell you how it really is.
How it really is without judging you.
Right.
In a safe way. And
that's true. Most people do judge, you know, and So, and I guess as a professional, you have to sort of like, not have so much opinions about the person as give them ways to, like tools to live life with.
Absolutely. And it could be anything, like with athletes, you know, athletes are very, you know, professional athletes in general, they're young, they're, you know, newly into a lot of money and they're into, you know, newly into fame. Years ago, I had an athlete, he was a rookie on a professional football team, and he called me at 2 in the morning. So that's the difference, too. As a life coach, you sort of are available, want to be available, because you don't want them to make decisions that are going to destroy their opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2 in the morning, he's in a hotel room, and there's a young woman laying next to him, and they just had sex, you know, and all of this, and he's hiding in the bathroom.
Oh.
And he's on the phone, and he's whispering, he's like, Doc, you awake? And I'm like, I am now, right?
I am now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what's up? And he said, well, she wants to spend the night, and I want her to go home, and I don't even know her name. And
oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Oh, shit, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
He needed a hooker instead. You pay a hooker to go home afterward.
Well, I think it's too liable for me to give that kind of advice. But so again, so it's like he didn't have the wherewithal to figure that moment out. Mm. He was too trapped in the moment. So, you know, I said, wake her up. Thank her for a great evening, get her a taxi, walk her to the taxi, say goodnight, be a gentleman, and tell her, you know, you can't really have her stay the night, you got to work out tomorrow, whatever,
right.
and don't do it anymore. Don't do that anymore.
Right.
That kind of thing. So, you know, it's really, that's a little sexier than most of what I do, but it'll be that kind of thing where you become a mentor to some, you become an advisor to everybody. And for me, it's founded in years of being both a therapist, I have my PhD in counseling education. So for me, being an educator is really what I love to do. And the biggest medium I can find, you know, which is why, you know, being on radio is really important. I wrote a book recently, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, before, so we don't forget, why don't you give us the name of the book?
The book is called The Real Purpose of Parenting, the book you wish your parents read.
Uh-huh.
And you can find it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's in every bookstore. And it really isn't just a parenting book. It really is a book about all of us. It's really understanding healthy development of our own self. It's done really well. We're really proud of it. And next year I'll start my next book on relationships.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Thanks.
That's good stuff.
So you were a therapist before that.
I was.
And so what made you decide to change?
You know, it's really more of an evolution, like, you know, in anything you've done or anybody else does. For me, I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
No.
And as a therapist, you have to keep your mouth
shut. Yeah, you have to listen more.
You have to listen more. And I, you know, like you all, we like to talk, and that's why we're on talk radio. And I like to give opinions, and I like to tell people what to do. And that's really true. I mean, I try not to impose that. I'd rather get paid to do that than, than not get paid to do that. And so it's evolved. What's really important is for people to use whatever works for them. Some people will say, I would never want somebody in my life like that. But if you need somebody like that, whether it's me or anybody else, in today's world, it's really hard to go it alone. It's really good to have a perspective.
That's true. And, you know, like we discussed, I mean, friends, family are not going to tell you the truth because they have a vested interest.
Right.
They judge a lot, you know, your family, they love you, whatever. And, yeah, so even friends, can't be as honest with you as someone like you, who's a third party.
Right. Well, you know, I don't have an agenda other than what we have set out to be my agenda, which is to help you stay healthy and help you make decisions that aren't going to hurt you, but continue, whether it's your image, your branding, your vision, or just safety.
Right.
You know, with that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what do you find in people to be one of the hardest thing for people to deal with in life? I mean, is there such a thing that's sort of a commonality that most people have?
You know, it's, you know, we'll sober up here for a second, but I think the world is so afraid.
Really?
And I think it starts at a very young age today. You can't turn on the television without somebody shooting somebody and something going on. You know, so your generation in particular, I think, is so used to it that the world has, you have to become numb to these kinds of things. And I think that's really dangerous. I think if we, you know, so we have more and more children on anxiety medications, which is just crazy. We have more and more people making decisions out of reaction because of their fear, rather than making a decision you would make authentically without it being a reaction. That's a hard concept. It's a hard concept for me to keep driving down the road straight when there's cars in front of me directing me elsewhere. How do you stay going forward when the world wants you to do something different? Very, very difficult. We have more. So that, you know, so is there a commonality? I think that's our cancer, Frank.
Right, fear.
Yeah, fear.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I, it occurred to me at a certain point in my life that, you know, we build walls around us when we're young to protect us, you know, so we build walls and stuff. But when we grow up, they become our prison walls, you know, because you don't need these walls anymore to protect you. Because you're not a kid anymore, and yet, so then it's like prison walls, and we can't do things. We're like frozen, and, you know, because of these fears, you know. So I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is actually more profound than you think it is, because
thank you.
I say this every day. Every day I say this because I believe it to be true. What worked for us growing up to cope in life becomes our nemesis as an adult. You see, I grew up with scoliosis. I have curvature of the spine. People made fun of me, blah, 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 blah. But I used a detachment from those hurt feelings. I know that about myself. I know that I did that. And now I'm in the greatest love relationship of my life. Mm. I have very deep friends. And it's so important for me not to use that old coping mechanism, because then I'll detach from Linda. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So you're right. So what worked when we were growing up, I had to do that then, but I should never do that now.
Right.
Right.
So you help people with that also, like share all these fears.
Absolutely.
And stuff. Yeah.
And that's the value of being a therapist at one time. Those skills are still with me, and I'm still allowed to use them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Now, so we had a career coach yesterday, and we asked him, like, what's the difference, you know? And he says, when you get a therapy, they deal more with the past, you know?
Right.
And with coaching, it's more like the present and the future.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the reason for that is that there's nothing about the past that's relevant to the present except what we bring forward, right?
Right.
If I make today like yesterday, then it's relevant because it's today.
Right.
But if I look forward and make a decision moving forward, map it out for myself, then I don't have to bring that stuff with me.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, you know. And I think it's important to focus on these things and also realize what made you that way. So, I mean, I see where therapy has a place. And you probably should do some therapy before you start doing some coaching. Now, that's just my opinion. But I think people should dig into the past originally and find out. Because I think people have a lot of emotions and feelings they need to let out, you know.
Right.
A lot of things that, you know, some kids are like really into themselves, you know, and they don't let out their feelings, their frustration, their anger, you know. And then they just take it with them when they get older. And then you get these criminals and people that are just like antisocial, you know. So I think therapy has its place, but I think once you work that out and you understand why your parents did what they did and why you did what you did and everything, I think it's time then to start dealing with the future.
Absolutely. You know, but I think it's clear, we have to be clear with our audience that not everybody in the world needs to go into therapy.
Right.
Not everybody in the world has these, you know, not every kid's going to grow up to shoot up, you know, the next school or any of that kind of thing. I think really what it is can you be comfortable in your own skin? Can you be content in the world around you? Do you feel joy? Do you feel excitement? Can you love somebody? Can you be loved by somebody? You know, it's kind of the core relationship experiences so that you have them. You know, can you put your phone down and look somebody in the eye and have a conversation? You know, is it all about the fear that you have of connection that you can say it in the text,
right,
but you can't say it live and in person.
That's true.
You know,
I feel like that, especially here in LA.
Sure.
Everyone is so afraid to connect with people. Everyone's got this hard wall up, you know, and it's like, you know, everybody just has these trust issues and it's crazy. And I know you'd mentioned before, like, how more and more kids of this generation all have like anxiety and are on all these different medications. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's, you know, it's almost like it's not cool to be normal. You know what I mean? Like all these kids are like, oh, what are you on? You're taking that? Oh, that's cool. I'm taking that. Like, oh, wow. Like they even have movies on that. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, you know, the cool kids. It was like the cool thing to do to be on all this anxiety medication.
Right.
And it's really sad. And it's like, how do we, you know, is there a way to try to get past that, to try to make it where it's cool to be like normal and just chill on your own and put yourself in that mindset so you don't need the medication and just have like a positive energy, you know, and count to 10 and breathe? Like, what happened to that tactic? You know, it's all like chemicals now.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And my sense is that people have to stop competing and comparing themselves to everybody around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to be you and you don't have to be me. And I think kids are taught by their parents to compete at a really, really early age, whether it's grades, athletics, beauty pageants, dance.
Yeah, that's one thing I did learn. I mean, I have an associate's degree in child psychology, so I know a little bit of, of what you're saying. But yeah, that's very, very true.
I mean, in your world of being an actress, everything's competition and everything mm-hmm. is judged. And how do you stay grounded to who you are and not get caught up with, you know, the opportunity, not sleep right. with the director and then ruin right. your relationship in front right. of the free world, yeah. like what's her name? And you know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. So I know, because people, even back home, people ask me that all the time. They're like, you know, because I come home to visit and people are like, how are you not changed? Like, you know, you're still the same good girl that doesn't, uh-huh. you know, hook up with random guys and have sex, that doesn't do drugs, that doesn't drink heavily, that like
yeah, that
I'm still the same girl, you know. Yeah. And I thought, because I didn't know, I thought maybe it is going to be really difficult for me, but the more, you know, the more I just really, you know, try to put myself back in my home roots, I also just wanted so hard to, you know, prove to everybody back home that I wasn't going to change. Because right. people are like, oh, yeah, she's going to move there and she's going to, you know, like start, you know, hooking up with boys and doing drugs and all that. And it's like, you know what? No, I'm not, because I know who I am there and I'm going to stay true to myself. And I'm so grateful to have the, you know, the willpower that I do and be able to stay true to myself.
Regardless of whether or not it stops an opportunity for you, it's, you know what I mean? Let's say somebody offers you...
If I was a hoe, I'd be like an A-list actress by now. Let me tell you. If I hooked up, I would be, oh man.
Yeah. But you, you need to do it on your own. So then you can take all the credit for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's a hard, but you know, as people have to sort of extrapolate this out, but whether it's what Mia goes through or, you know, I was offered an opportunity in New York to be a part of a show that's one of those, you know, DNA paternity shows, mm-hmm. kind of like a Maury, and it's, you know. And, you know, my agent and everybody's like, you've got to do this. It's national. It'll be big. And it's like Linda and I talked about it, and she keeps me grounded in this. And it's like, no, you've worked too hard. You've done too much to stand for what you believe in. Mm. But that's what we're talking about, is that I have to get up the next day and say, yeah, somebody else got that opportunity, and they're making that money, or maybe it launched them. But I have to be comfortable in my own choices. Mm. And if you're comfortable in yourself,
right.
you can live with the circumstances that unfold, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't sell your soul in order to get the things you want.
But everybody is. And right. that's where the fear is that somebody might have something bigger. Somebody might have something more. You know, I look at all these people who get out of their German black expensive vehicles in L.A., not everyone can afford those cars. Mm. So they'll live in a, you know, 600 square foot studio apartment, but as long as they can look like everybody else, they're going to do it.
Oh, that's for true. Sure.
Exactly. So the stress of that, the three jobs they've got to work to pay the $1,000, you know, lease payment on their car, whatever it is, that's what we're talking about. If we can help people grow up to become and adults to grow up to become comfortable in their own skin, it's a different thing. In Israel, and you could speak to this, people have to be comfortable in their own skin. They're not as caught up in the nonsense that Americans are caught up in because of the very real kinds of realities that go on every day in terms of their own security.
That's true. Although, you know, there's a lot of influence from America, obviously, and so forth. But, yeah, the lifestyle is different, you know. Israelis are more assertive, more aggressive, less afraid maybe. But they've got their own problems, too.
Sure.
I mean, it's not easy living in a place where you think you're going to be killed any moment. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? So
Israel, L.A., I mean...
Same thing.
You're walking down Santa Monica and, you know, somebody runs out and kills, you know, a bunch of people. But
yeah.
But that's the fear.
So devastating. Yeah.
That's true. I have to agree. You know, I mean, I think it's a motivator either way,
right.
fear. You know, it can be positive or negative, but... I think we need to find out what we're afraid of. You know, that's the bottom line.
But once we find that out, you know, I always say, if you're afraid, get busy. Because we immobilize. We get
right.
Yeah, don't go back to the old ways. Do something. Set up a plan. Try something different. Step out of your comfort zone. Get in front of the world.
Mm.
And speak up to what you want to do.
Yeah, and that takes some courage, you know.
It takes some courage. Some,
everybody can do that, you know. Now, do you believe that the place can make a person too? Because I'll tell you what, it's like L.A. people have sort of like, you know, Mia touched on it a little bit, that we have a certain reputation, certain this, but you have people here from all over the world, you know, and they come from places that are, let's say, people are warmer to each other, they're closer to each other, mm-hmm. but then they come here and they're totally different.
Well, yes, and I think there's a vibe and a culture. And, mm-hmm. you know, in my book we talk about it in terms of the family culture. We have a responsibility to develop the culture. Mm. And the culture is about attitude. But much of what the world thinks of L.A. is not my experience of L.A.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My son's girlfriend, who's never been to L.A., is from the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And she thinks everybody is the Housewives of Beverly Hills. So everybody's, you know, a bitch and loud and this and that. And, you know, she doesn't know about all the cultures here and the very kind people you meet. And,
right.
And everyone says hello as they walk on the not everyone, but everyone that says hello. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
But what I love about culture is that you get to create it. And what I love about LA is that you get to create your own experience within the experience.
Right.
My experience will never be Mia's experience in you know what I mean,
right.
in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And right. But that's what's so awesome about here. There are some places in America where you have to belong or you really will never feel comfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't think this is one of the places here?
No, for me, you know, when you hear five different languages in the elevator, to me that's a real healthy thing.
Mm.
It means we can coexist.
That's
I mean,
true.
Think about it on a broader scale.
Right.
Yes, you know, I mean, parking's insane, as you were talking earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things that
traffic.
I've experienced. Traffic can be insane. Exactly. But the people, when I could say hello to, you know, Louise, and I could say hello to, you know, Sam, and I could say hello to Mia, and you all can say hello to me, it's a real healthy thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's the power of California, frankly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, and I think it can work to a positive way, too, because, like I said, you know, Israelis are, like, rather crude, you know. They don't have, like, a lot of politeness and stuff, you know. It's sort of like, you know, just, yeah, no bullshit, you know.
Right.
It's sort of, like, very straight. So when they come here, though, they become more polite. Because you have to, otherwise right. you don't feel like you belong, you know. The same with driving, you know, people drive like crazy around the world. They come here, you know, you might say people drive like crazy here, but let me tell you, this is paradise compared to some other places in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, people stay in their lanes, no honking, you know, things like that. Of course, there's always exceptions, but for the most part. So I think the place can make the person, you know, and...
Well, think about it. If we went to Japan and we walked into somebody's house, what would we do?
Right. We would pick up their customs, right?
We would take our shoes off
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because they take off their shoes.
Right.
Yes, we'd pick up their customs.
Right.
That's the beauty of ritual. That's the beauty of culture.
Right.
Is you can come to a place like California and take the edges off.
Right.
You know, that's an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, the power of that.
Yeah. So let's, for the last few minutes, talk about you a little bit. Where were you originally born? I mean, I know you're not from L.A. You guys just moved.
Right.
But you used to live here before?
No, never lived here
never
before.
Lived here before.
I'm originally from Chicago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And I heard that. And left it. I went to the University of Illinois for undergraduate and really never. Did you really?
No, I was saying U of I. So that's how
said,
we
so
know
did
it.
I.
No.
Anyway, so and really never went back and wound up in St. Louis, Missouri for a long, long while, raised our families there.
How did you end up in St. Louis?
Well, went there for a girl and got wrapped up in, you know, when you build a therapy practice, you can't really pick that up and move it.
Right.
It's not something you can really, at least back then, there was no Skype, there was no anything. So I was kind of there and then raised the family, and it was a great place to raise a family, but it was always too small for me.
Really?
It was, you know, coming from Chicago.
Yeah, you used to Chicago and the big city.
Yeah, it was really, really too small and smaller thinking. Don't want to offend anybody out there from St. Louis, but it was a smaller kind of thinking.
Yeah.
There is a place where unless you're really white and educated, you're not much.
You know, really?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't enjoy life that much there, that way.
You don't. You don't. And so business brought us out here a lot, and opportunity brought us out here a lot. And I, you know, we just kind of fell in love with it. And Linda and I said, the kids are grown, and it's time to do our thing and move to Brentwood. And we're rocking and rolling, actually. It's been great.
That's really cool. How many years did you live in St. Louis? A long time?
33.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 33.
So you made
years.
It your home for a long time.
Made it. You know, we had children, so our kids are all grown now, and it was great. I mean, there's a lot of great things. We have great friends there. We still have family there, but there's always life when you're ready for it.
Right.
And you just have to be ready for it. There's never a time in your life that you can't start new.
Right. And it's never too late.
Never too late. It's always, you know, I feel younger today than I did 10 years ago. Really?
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
How awesome.
Wow. Absolutely.
That's very cool.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So how many kids do you have?
Between the two of us, we have five.
Oh, wow. So it's a big family.
It's a big blended group, yeah. And we're hoping that everybody will become financially on their own at some point soon. We're very close with that, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And they're all really good people with strong opinions. They're all very different than each other. But everybody's close. Everybody gets along. And we have one in Chicago, Adam, and he's doing great with his girlfriend, Liz. And we have a couple, Justin and Liz is in, another Liz is in St. Louis, and Rachel's out here in L.A., and she's doing her thing out here.
So one of them did come out
One of them came out here a little bit before us. That was a separate plan, and she's great doing her thing here.
Great. And what's the age range of the kids?
29 to 23.
Oh, okay. So they're fully grown. You don't need to worry about them.
You know, you always worry about them, but no, you can try to control them, but it won't work anyway.
It wouldn't work.
So,
huh?
You know what I mean? So it's all good. I mean, it's great. And we love being on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock with Life Coach Radio and encourage everybody to tune in and call in. And, you know, it's great. And we really appreciate Sam and everything he's done for us.
Awesome. Now, your kids, what they do different things, I would imagine, right? Everybody's got their own
Right.
interests.
One's the pharmacist. One's trying to do screenwriting and become an author. And he's at Columbia College in Chicago. And, Adam's doing some good stuff. Probably will wind up out here or in New York when he's finished with all of that. Mm-hmm. We have my son Justin was just out here and actually is going to be accepted into the officer training program of the Marines, which will be the first person in the Marines from our family. And it's unusual when a Jewish family has a kid going into the American military.
Hoorah.
It's not, yeah, exactly. But he's very, very excited. We're supporting him on that. Rachel's out here, and she's, you know, really finding her way. And right now is a teacher in a preschool, but looking for bigger and better opportunities.
Wow. And so since you brought this up, I wanted to ask, did being Jewish get in the way for you in a place like St. Louis? Or it's not like that?
It limits you in a place like St. Louis
really?
In some ways.
Wow.
You know, everyone is comfortably in their own community there. If I was an African-American person, I would never live in St. Louis. If I was a gay person, I wouldn't live in St. Louis.
Wow.
There's a small Jewish community there, you know, and there's a very large Catholic community there, and they all kind of stay separate from each other.
Oh.
It really is a hard way to live. When you're in it, you don't think about it, but when you come to a bigger space, you see, my father's European. He was a survivor of the Holocaust.
Oh, wow.
And my mom was American. So for me, it was always very interesting to have multicultural experiences.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I just I just think that if we, and it was a fight I always had with my father because he was always, you know, and I understood from where he came, we should stay together.
Right.
But for me, it was like, I think we should be friends with each other.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think if we all got along and got together, I think it would be an easier world. And maybe it's pie in the sky, but I'll keep trying to get the world to see it that way.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. You know, and I sometimes run into people that are Palestinian, that are, you know, from Arab countries, and we get along just fine.
Of course.
You know, because we're a neutral ground here. This place promotes, like, you know, for the most part, I mean, yes, we have shootings and stuff like this, but for the most part, we promote peace and friendship and things like that, you know?
Right.
So you come here, I think all that hatred dissipates, you know, it seems like.
And the hatred dissipates and the boundaries dissipate. We're sitting here. We have an Israeli gentleman at the helm. We have a young, beautiful woman at the other helm. And we have this old life coach on the other helm. And we're having a great conversation. That doesn't happen everywhere in the world.
Right.
Because we would never talk to each other, Mia. We, you know what I mean? We,
right.
That's the kind of thing that...
Different social classes, different age groups.
Age groups.
Yeah.
But everyone's like opinion's that. Important.
And, right.
And I think that's the value of talk radio for me, is let's get everybody talking about all this.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and L.A., it takes some getting used to, you know, when you have all the different cultures and everything. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, I think. But at the same time, once you get used to it, it's really a pretty good thing, you know.
It is.
You really get to meet people. You expand your horizons when you know people from other places. And, you know, that's why, when I wasn't happy with myself and my life, I blamed it all on L.A. Mm-hmm. I need to move from here. It's a bad place. I'm not flourishing here. I need to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I went a couple places. I lived in South Africa for a year. I went back to Israel and lived there for a year. And then I realized there's no place like here, you know, and the problems were with me, not with the place. There's so many nice people, and especially since I started the station over 5 years ago, the number of nice people that I've met, I never thought L.A. was like that. So so it's changed my whole perspective on
the
city,
great.
You know.
Yeah,
it really has.
Definitely.
And, people are different. I mean, look, some people are not going to be cool. And that's fine, you know, it happens all over the place.
All
and
over.
Stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So you guys are enjoying L.A. so far, huh?
We are having a great time. We live in an area, we walk everywhere, we walk to the beach almost every day.
Really? Wow, just, how cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Linda's thrilled to be here, and we have a little dog who's very cute. Aww. And so she makes friends everywhere she goes. She kind of, you know, I mean, that's the amazing thing about Santa Monica and Brentwood, that area, is that if you have a dog and if it's cute, man.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves you.
Oh, my God. It's not like a chick magnet. It's like an every person magnet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone has a dog out here. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know someday I'll get one. It's just, you know.
I don't know. Dogs are cool, but I can't pick up their poop, man. I just can't do it. Anyway, Phil Dembo, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Sure. If you guys need a life coach, definitely try him out. You had a whole hour to get familiar with him. The show is...
Life Coach Radio
Life
on
coach
Sunday
Radio.
Nights at 6 p.m.
Yes, don't miss it on Channel 1 right here on LA Talk Radio. You won't be sorry. And, of course, you guys can listen to the archives at any time. All the best... A lot of success in L.A., Phil.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks, Mia.
And thanks, Mia.
Thank you. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes, have a great
enjoy
weekend.
The weekend.
And we'll see you on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you would like to get in touch with the show or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please email sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.